we're going to be the sports guys, and John is with me, but let me just tell you about the weather. Since I've been in a hotel for 3 days, I had no idea what a beautiful day this was. And in fact, although they say it was mostly cloudy, it really was a beautiful day.
And just to be clear on that, Pat was working very hard for those 3 days.
Yes.
On a case.
Actually, I was down at the bar convention.
The bar convention.
So, but it's interesting. You go back and see people that see every year.
Yeah.
Programs, pretty good programs, and the problem is I'm exhausted. So what they said this afternoon, this is really strange because certainly it looks like it's been a beautiful day. It certainly was all the way up.
It's clouding up now.
Now, well, it said there was a 40% chance of scattered showers this afternoon in this area. Tonight, again, about a 30% chance of showers. Tomorrow, Saturday, should be very nice, mostly sunny, high of about 77 degrees. And then by Sunday, partly sunny, but high of about 81 degrees. Sunday night, again, a chance of thunderstorms. And on Monday, there's another chance of thunderstorms. But this looks like it may be the only weekend that we've actually had 2 days with sun. And I'm certainly glad John is here because I have to tell you, I haven't listened to anything sports-wise for 3 days.
Well, Pat, lots going on. However, and I would be remiss as a Boston fan if I didn't point out that title of Titletown USA, which for a period of time was a reference to Green Bay.
Yes, it was. It still is. It's still called Titletown.
For sentimentalists, but you have to admit that Boston's had an extraordinary run. We've had something like 18 titles in the last 16 years, and now the Bruins are in the Stanley Cup final after the Patriots won the Super Bowl and the Red Sox won the World Series. So if the Bruins win, and we'll know that maybe next week, it'll be the first time that a city has had three of the four major championships of professional sports in one city. That's a pretty amazing run. And the Celtics got to the division, but they almost made it to the conference finals themselves. I mean, they were only a few wins away themselves.
Yeah, but what happened to the Celtics? I really thought they had a pretty good chance.
Well, I think they were considered a dark horse. You still have the Warriors with all their extraordinary talent, and a few other teams. The Raptors were pretty good. And, I still think the Celtics were probably the third or fourth best team. For them to have won, they would have maybe needed another team to get an injury or just get because they weren't the best team, but you never know. With the Bruins, they have peaked at the right time with great goaltending, and they took a Carolina Hurricane team, which had been one of the top teams all year,
right,
and absolutely tore them apart, swept them 4-0, including the clinching game in Carolina last night, 4-0 on the road in Carolina, in Raleigh. So they clearly are going into the Cup final against either San Jose or Colorado on a big high. I don't know where that series opens. I think it's possible that San Jose had a better record and might have the home ice. I'm not positive, so I'd have to check that. But bottom line is, you're looking at a city with an incredible championship run over the past two decades, Pat. And
they really have.
Gotta be grabbing the name title.
No, they have to. They have to get another name. That's all.
You know. In fairness, you're right. The Packers haven't won a lot lately, but in fairness, you're right. That is their moniker, as the venerable Bill Wolfson has made his appearance. Bill, what we're talking about is the incredible run of the Boston franchises with 18 championships in the last 16 years, and now with the Bruins in the Stanley Cup final. if they can beat either Colorado or San Jose, they will have captured three of the four major pro sports championships in the same fiscal year, which has never been done before.
What do you
attribute that to? I said to Pat that, you know, perhaps the moniker Titletown, which had been a reference to Green Bay, could perhaps be taken over by Boston. I think Pat has, with an equitable argument, as we are practicing the equity courts here, Pat has made a convincing equitable argument that Titletown should remain Green Bay and that Boston has to come up with something else. The first thing that comes to mind is just the best, because I think it is the best city. And my daughter Allison happens to be in New Jersey right now. She flew in from Boston last night. I think she would echo those sentiments. The best would fit very well.
Well, no, I think we have to, maybe we should have a contest as to what would be, I think the best, unfortunately, people wouldn't understand best what. I mean, Titletown,
you know that's a sports moniker.
It is. It's something sports.
Now,
so
I threw that out, Pat. I mean, you're right. You have to come up with something that would compete with Titletown.
Well, and of course, the your Red Sox fans would want something in it that said better than Yankees.
Well, that,
right?
Well, from whenever the Red Sox don't win the World Series, and they've won four of the last 14, but whenever they don't win, they say, well, as long as the Yankees don't win, we're okay.
Well, that's probably true, but, you know, the Bruins have played very good hockey.
Well, they peaked at the right. You know, Bill, I mean, you and I have been to over 400 hockey games together.
Really?
In 30
yeah,
years.
Easily.
And
wow.
I think you'd agree with me when you say that in hockey, it's you got to get hot at the right time, meaning at the end. And Tukarask has been a great goaltender for a number of years. They won a cup. What was that, 2011?
Right.
When they came back and beat the Leafs in the conference final, down 3-1. And that special year, they were down 4-1 with 3 minutes to go in the third period of Game 7. Came back, tied, beat the Leafs in overtime. And no, I'm sorry, that was Game 5. Then they won the other two, went to Game 7, were down 3-1 to the Vancouver Canucks and the Sedin sisters, and won that cup.
That's
well, you
right.
know,
and remember where they got that template from. Remember, they in 2010, they were up 3-1 over my Philadelphia Flyers.
The Flyers.
And the Flyers came roaring back.
And beat them
and
in
beat
seven
them
games.
In 7 games, and a tremendous Game 7, which was in Boston.
Epic Game 7.
Yep.
It was a brutal Game 7 for Boston fans, but an epic Flyer win.
Well, it was a brutal game for a lot of the Flyers, too, because Daniel Briere shot his bolt in that game.
Yeah.
And Philadelphia did not play well against Chicago. They lost in Game 6. When
yeah,
Michael
we remember that goal in Philadelphia.
Yes, we do.
Patrick Kane popped that in, and, you know, for all of us pumped up Flyer fans.
Well, we still hasn't seen that puff.
Pumped up Flyers fans. Kimmo Tiiminen could not control Patrick Kane when he went around him, and I still believe Michael Lawton was screened on that shot by Tiiminen's shoulder. But, you know, Boston
whatever
had that
it went
template.
In, they won it. You're right. The Bruins came back the next year, come from behind. But, again, the point I was making is that you and I know that it's the hot team with the hot goalie in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs.
And it's right. It's really, and I think,
except,
even leading up.
Although there are exceptions. When the Blackhawks have won a couple of cups in the last decade.
Right.
After a 50-year Babylonian captivity from the Stanley Cup, they've won, what, two or three?
Two,
I guess.
Right.
But in both instances, it really wasn't the goaltender. They just had
right.
the best
team.
They had the best team, and they had tremendous offensive power between Taze and Kane and some of those other guys, Dustin Bufiglin.
Yeah,
where they lost to Winnipeg. I don't know why they never
signed
them.
But I think the recipe there for both the Blackhawks and the Kings was big mobile defensemen.
Exactly. But, you know, with Boston, they were brave. They let Milan Lucic go, and he ended up...
I didn't think they would do anything this year. I thought this was a rebuilding year, which, again, goes to show a couple of guys get hot. Goaltender,
right.
Gets hot down the stretch. And And that's the thing. In hockey, you can pull it off.
Well, and it also, because remember, there's so many games. It
right.
seems to me that, you know, in football, you know, you lose the first four or five games you're out. But in hockey,
to one in even a 1-3 start,
right?
It's
that's
be
tough.
Trouble. But 1-4, 1-5,
one and
you're toast.
But in, you know, in hockey, it you have so many games, you get hot at the end. And
to your point, and I know this is a little painful for Bill, but
I know what you're going to say.
95 season, which was a strike season, okay?
Right.
There were only 36 or 38 games. In the entire, by the time they came back after Christmas to play, they only had time for like roughly 35 games.
Right.
Every game, it became like the
yes,
NFL, Pat.
It did.
Where every game meant so much.
Yeah.
And the Devils wound up winning the Stanley Cup because they were built for that 35-game season, and the Flyers the Rangers
were not. Well, remember, the Devils sprinted through that season.
And Marty Brodeur's coming out party.
Right. And they would have like 8 or 10 game win streaks.
Right.
They would lose a game. Or
right.
They would win a game in overtime. And we could sort of pretend that was a loss.
But they had four Hall of Fame defensemen and Marty Brodeur.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, and they won 3 cups in 9 years. But again, my point here this year is Rask, I think, has been really hot. The defensemen are pretty good, and the Bruins forwards are big and fast, and that's a recipe for winning hockey, Bill.
Well, if you noticed, when it got to be a track meet that Carolina tried to force in Game 3.
Right. Ran them out of the rink.
The Bruins ran them out of their own building. It was astonishing to watch. I watched about half of the game, and then I watched the highlights that I had missed in the first period and a half, and the Bruins are certainly the better team.
I think they're better coached because, to your point, Carolina tried to win with speed, and the Bruins were able to offset that with a physical game and slow them down, and then when they needed some speed, Bruins have very fast forwards.
Oh, they turned it right on.
They turned it right on.
But did you notice how well Boston clogged the neutral zone?
Once they get up a lead, they are like the Devil's neutral zone trap.
Right.
And then they wait to turn you over and go on with 2-on-1s and 3-on-2s. It's an age-old recipe. We give it to Jacques Lemaire, who led the Devils to 2 cups doing that.
Exactly.
And it's a great recipe to win in the NHL.
But, you know, when you play the neutral zone trap or you play that right-wing lock, which the Bruins did not need to do because of their speed and size,
right?
You can be very successful. And for whatever reason, Rod Brind'Amour and his Carolina Hurricanes just could not figure out how to do that. I was surprised that they were swept, though.
Yeah, definitely. I thought that was at least a 6-game series.
I was betting 5.
Yeah. Now, what's your take there? The Avalanche and the Sharks are beating each other up. I think that series is 2-2. It
exactly.
might be 3-2. But they are beating themselves, each other up. It's Western Conference hockey, which you and I both know typically was a fast-paced, quick-hitting type hockey. Well, now you've got a Bruins team coming out of the East, much like Washington last year, with a lot of speed and good goaltending. You know, the days of Flyers, Devils, Rangers being successful with a more deliberate game, more solid, a little slower, good goaltending, and take to the body, I don't think you can win with that anymore, Bill.
No, I don't think so either. I think Boston, though, is
they got the
clearly,
right blend.
Boston's clearly the better team. If you had to have
I think
Boston,
they're going in favored, yeah.
Yeah. If you had Boston play either the Sharks or the Avalanche 7 games each, I think Boston would beat both of those teams 4-2.
On paper, I think you're right.
And that's because of the goaltending and the defense.
Yeah.
But remember, Boston can certainly control the pace of the game. Boston can certainly get much better zone entries than either of those two teams against each other.
Going to headmanning the puck and getting it over the blue line and getting shots off.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, and you'll notice that just about all of the top 6 not notice just about, but all of the top six forwards have very quick releases on the puck coming into the
zone. A lot of wrist shots, one-timers, yeah. And I think that's all part of their kind of blitzkrieg package where they break out of their zone quickly, to your point, get into the zone. They don't only get over the blue line, get in the zone, but they're already dropping the puck or passing to line up that shot before the defense has a chance to get the triangle or the box going.
And the interesting thing
is,
great on the
power play with that.
The interesting thing is when they're drop passing to a trailer, the guy who has carried the puck in is going right to the net, and you'll notice the sticks are always on the ice for that deflection.
Exactly.
So let me ask you guys something. What advantage does the team with on home ice
one significant advantage in the National Hockey League, and that is the home team has the last can put the last line on there, the last line change. So they can hold, and if the visitor, let's say, puts a speed line out, well, you can counter with your best checking line. If the visitor puts their slower heavy scorers out, you might put some of your bigger players out or go with your speed line. So the home team has the advantage of the last line change.
Well, I know they have that, but what about just ice?
What about
the fans? And that, because, you know, football, we think it's really big.
Well, it's 3 points in football.
Yeah. So how does that compare?
Half a goal? I think it's a goal, and here's why. First of all, you'll notice in Barclays Center, for example, the ice is terrible, and it would slow the Islanders down, and they had to adjust their game to that. And when you get a quick skating team coming in,
it helps the Islanders. It neutralizes the speed.
And it neutralizes their speed to some extent. The Islanders are not all that fast, but I think they played over their heads this year, and they got some decent goaltending towards the end. To your point, they got hot. But I will tell you that hockey teams are trained, and they practice taking those caroms off the boards, firing them along the board. If you're a defenseman who gets into a little trouble clearing, the first thing he's going to do, instead of making the outlet pass, if he's trapped, he's going to bang it off the boards. And forwards generally are speeding through the neutral zone and know where to pick that puck up. Secondly, if you're in the attacking zone, a lot of times you'll see a puck delivered very hard as a slap shot from just over the blue line against the boards because they know that carom's going to come out to the slot or to one of the face-off circles inside the dot. So what that does is, if you know the sweet spots on the boards, and every team practices this, you're going to know that if the puck hits the boards in a certain way, given your shot and given your line mates, you know where that puck's going to end.
On your board.
And you skate to it, right.
It's like same thing in baseball, where you like the Green Monster.
Right.
That's probably the best example in baseball. But
explain that to our audience.
Well, the Green Monster, because that 40-foot monolith in left field in Fenway, and when a ball comes off the monster, you know, it's typically a double. But you will sometimes see, and Kari Yastrzemski, as a kid growing up, I watched him make a living on this. He learned how to let the ball hit the wall, come down on one bounce, pick it up with his right hand, because he batted left but threw right. And he'd pick it up with one hand and throw the guy out at second base.
Exactly.
I think he's the all-time leader
with assists.
And throwing runners out at second base.
Yeah, because Yastrzemski had a unique way of playing the outfield.
Well, he came up, a lot of people don't realize, as a shortstop.
Right.
So that's why a base hit to left field, a guy coming around from second base, Yaz would charge the ball in left field, and by the time he picked it up and, you know, threw his throwing motion, he was almost on the infield grass by the time he got the ball, and he would nail guys at the plate. But the point is, these are all home advantages. You get the advantage you get from playing home. So off of a wall, you have a better idea how that ball is going to react off the boards.
There's another thing you need consider, and that is if you have a third baseman with a good arm, but he's got some leg problems or he's got some range problems, let the grass grow a little bit higher.
That was the Los Angeles Dodgers of the 1960s.
Yeah.
They had no hitting. Great pitching, no hitting.
No hitting.
Well, what they would do is they would have the grass cut down to almost the dirt, like it was like a desert, so that their ground
like
balls,
yeah.
They're like a putting green, so their ground balls would have a better chance of sneaking through. And in the course of nine innings, they'd get two or three extra base hits. And then, you know, a Dodger rally in those days was a, either a ground ball signal or a walk, a stolen base, a ground out to the right side, and then a sacrifice fly. That was the Dodger rally. And then
yeah,
one game, one nothing.
Because remember, then Sandy Koufax would strike out 18 guys.
And
stay in the game for nine innings.
Right, right. So you know, you've got that problem too. But you know what's really interesting is when you have, as you correctly point out, the infield becomes as hard as a rock. And it's like playing almost on a billiard table or a ping pong table, especially if you've got very athletic shortstops and third base.
Yeah, think about Arizona, places like that.
Yeah.
You know, now that you mentioned
field,
it, Bill,
yeah.
where the ground has some clay in it.
Right.
And it's going to be hard as a rock. You're right. That's going to be like a pool table.
Exactly. And what happens is these guys don't need to hit a lot because most hitters are right-handers. You're going to bring in a left-hander to pitch. You know they're going to pull the ball. And, you know, when the ball takes off like a rabbit off of that really hard sun-baked clay infield, these guys are athletic enough to grab the ball and throw it.
And you build your team that way
exactly.
To suit your home field advantage.
Right. And remember, and you're always pitching those guys inside, those right-handers. And those left-handers, well, you're not going to give them anything good to hit, first of all. Second of all, you want to see who can hit to the opposite field because typically you're going to have your second baseman playing deep. And if your first baseman's not holding anybody on, he can play deep also because you've got that baked infield. It's absolutely fascinating how the field can be tweaked.
I think Pat's kind of kicked off this segment of it by asking that great question about why is the home ice, what is the home ice advantage in hockey? And we've gone through a couple of other sports. One that should be mentioned, okay, which is, you know, God only knows if it was really true, but we all know that the Boston Celtics won 8 straight NBA titles and 11 out of 13. And people, you know, you'd always wind up with a Game 7 in Boston Garden, and these other teams would scream because they swore that the parquet floor in Boston had weird areas that the Celtics players knew and in crunch time knew how to navigate some of those areas. I mean, I don't know, to win 8 in a row, even if you have the best team, you're probably still not going to win 8 in a row. There had to be some other advantage. So I've always given that some credence.
You know, that's interesting because
and they didn't have footballs to deflate.
No.
You are talking Boston and Brady.
You always think about Boston.
Maybe basketballs to deflate.
That's true.
You know, but you always think about a parquet floor as being a regulation NBA or college floor.
Well, in terms of the size, yes.
Right. But also in terms of composition. You know, and I've got to believe these are very scientific materials now.
Yeah, I think that's the point. The composition varies. And the old Boston Garden. And I was there as a kid. I remember I was there with my buddy Rick Grossman, who you know, from Brantford, Connecticut. We were in high school. We went to a Bruins Sunday afternoon game. 2 o'clock game against the Minnesota North Stars.
Boy,
I remember that
back.
Game. Yep, yeah. Minnesota North Stars, who are today
the
Dallas
Stars.
Yeah. And we went to the game. And then game was over about 4:30. The Celtics were playing at 7 o'clock. So we went out, got something to eat, came back into Boston Garden at 6 o'clock, and they were still putting the floor down. Because what they would do they would put a layer of insulation, then they would put a layer of weather, some type of cork material, and then the parquet floor over it. We actually came in, and they were a little behind because the game, hockey game had been in the afternoon, and they had only done half the arena, so we actually watched them, that unit, putting down the parquet floor. And they were putting it in and then pulling it out and rotating it 90 degrees and almost looked like they didn't know how to put it in. And we kept saying, I bet they're rotating it to the specifications of the Celtics today. That was just kind of a joke. But when you think about that, when the regulation size is consistent, as Bill says, but that composition isn't necessarily consistent, and you win 8 championships in a row, even if you had, I mean, you know, Michael Jordan never did that. They won 6, but not in a row.
Yeah, but the other thing,
would you do that if you didn't have some advantage?
And what impact do you think it had that they were playing, I really hadn't thought about this, that they were playing hockey and then using the same floor, you know, just
right
redoing
over
the floor on
and,
top
you know,
of it.
I mean, and that's, they said that lent itself to, again, creating the anomalies in the parquet floor. Of course, the wise guy opponents used to say that, and it was the Lakers, the Lakers had never beaten the Celtics until Magic. They had never beaten the Boston Celtics in a game 7. They had lost like 6 of them. Okay? And they used to complain and say it was the leprechaun ghosts coming out of the floor, dribbling, and all of a sudden the ball was like bouncing off. Because the floor, the parquet floor, somebody reached up and did something.
You know, and of course, you had to give credit to the Irish, and now we'll give credit to some of our sponsors.
Always a good idea, Pat. Hit that money button.
I'm going to go get another cup.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, we're back.
Hey, we're back. And what about the Jets? The team that puts the fun in dysfunctional. They got rid of their general manager, McCagnan, this week after bringing in Adam Gase from the Miami Dolphins. So,
what kind of pedigree is that?
Beats me. I always liked gangrene. They're called gangrene because they seem to be just about falling apart from one infection or another. At least they don't have Odell Beckham playing for them, although they did get Le'Veon Bell.
That's
going to
be a challenge, Bill. They may get a good couple seasons out of him, but you got to hope he doesn't destroy that locker room.
Well, that's the point. The Jets just love to find the toxic divas of football.
Now, if you think about that, look at all the teams that could have used a running back, like the Packers,
right.
The Eagles. They all stayed away from him.
Although, maybe I'm
a marquee guy. I'm convinced of that.
But maybe I have the wrong idea. But I really think the Packers, because of their locker room, could take some of these guys and they would work out. Because they're good players.
Well, if they don't get along with Aaron Rodgers, they ain't going to work out.
No, but I think...
You know that right up front.
But Aaron recognizes talent.
Are you kidding me? An all-pro running back? Aaron Rodgers would be the happiest guy in the town.
Absolutely. And I think that all of the players have enough respect for Aaron Rodgers that, they're going to be a,
there would their, be enough peer pressure to right. let's go with the flow here, Bill, yep. and let's not piss off the best quarterback in the league.
And the best quarterback,
second best, out of
well, I think best, but the best quarterback in the league will also make you look better.
Correct.
Oh,
and
no
that's always
it.
Been, that's why a lot of people do call Brady the best, because he does, he puts the ball right in front of his players
right.
so that they can run, you know, run under it. And he does, he is clearly the Montana, he was a better Montana, because he does, he puts the ball right there. And these receivers, because he's never had marquee receivers.
Right.
Never.
You're right.
And they change every year, they let him go.
And you know, it's interesting, and I'll never forget, and if you looked, one of my favorite games was Brett Favre in Oakland right after his dad died, because those receivers caught everything. I mean, it would have been, honestly, did you ever take a second look at that game?
Oh, that's a hallmark game.
Yeah,
it really
that
is.
Game is
that
cited
was basically
frequently.
Favre's signature game in
yeah,
his
signature.
Career,
well,
as far as I'm concerned.
Well, also, you know, all of those guys had such respect for him; they were going to catch whatever
no
he
matter
threw.
What it took.
And that's why I think an average football fan would look at that and say, "How could that have happened?" But you're right about Brady. I don't think he had to have the best. Because
just somebody with some speed so right. he could get the ball out there. And got in his like 16-year career, he's had about 20 different primary yep. targets, and he's made them into all pro. So
and
there's no question about that. Montana was also brilliant
right, he was.
At putting the ball right there.
But the other thing, Brady, he had a lot of guys protecting him.
Well, there's no question,
you know,
and that the coaching staff, you got to build a wall around this guy.
And they did, because he was standing in the pocket, you know.
Well, and what was it, in the playoffs this year, he took, going into the Super Bowl, there were 90 snaps, the offensive snaps, that the Patriots had, exclusive of punts, and he never got touched. In 90 snaps,
I mean,
against other playoff teams. Who
right.
theoretically have good defensive lines, never got touched.
No.
So, you know, when you're talking Philadelphia and the Giants and the Packers and these other teams whose quarterbacks are getting beat up, hello?
Yeah, well, how many times did Rodgers get sacked in the last 2 years?
Well, I mean, with all the injuries.
Yeah, he's been bounced on that right. turf a million times.
And he most of the time can get away. I mean, if he wasn't as
can't get
mobile,
away every time. Though.
No, but if he wasn't as mobile, he would have been sacked at least twice as
many. If he were Eli Manning,
right.
He would, yeah.
So, but from that standpoint, you have to give it to the Patriots that they were able to take a look at Brady and play to his strengths.
Well, the big thing with New England is they play in the AFC East, which is the weakest division in football for the last 20 years. So during their 19-year run of excellence, and you can't take anything away, just saying, they also had six gimme games every year.
Right.
I think they averaged winning five of those six games against the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills, who have not been relevant except for the 1 year when the Jets did go to the AFC Championship. Well, they went two in a row under Rex. But one of those years, they beat the Patriots in Foxborough.
Right. And that was in the Mark Sanchez era.
And that was in the Mark Sanchez
right.
era.
Well, and the question is, because they're such a superior team compared to who they're playing, do they end up at the end of the year with less injuries?
That's true, too, because
you know,
remember,
I mean, usually
they
that's
never,
right.
In their conference, in their division, they don't play great against great offensive
yeah.
linemen.
If you play in the NFC East
linemen,
or the NFC Central,
or
different story.
Up.
Or NFC
Look,
North.
If
yep,
they played,
yep.
if
yeah,
the Patriots
I meant North.
Played,
I'm sorry, the North. Yeah.
Well, if the Patriots played in the NFC North, you got the Bears, you got the Vikings, you got the Packers.
Yeah, you might win, but you're going to pay
play.
The price. So by
exactly.
game 10, 11, 12, you're beat up.
And that
makes
and
a
remember,
huge difference.
Remember, all those plays that they make in the AFC East Division or whatever, you've got hurry-ups, you're going to get sacked, you're going to get good defensive backs and good defensive safeties who are going to make absolutely sure your life is made miserable. There's a whole different level of defensive football, I think, in the NFC North.
Another thing is, for example, even if the Packers aren't a good team, when the Bears are not a good team, if they're playing the Packers, you know
rivalry. What do you think is going to happen this year, Pat? I mean, the Bears had their best season in 30 years, 12-4, made the playoff. What do you think? You think they can replicate? Played over their head.
No.
You know, when they got the big defensive guy from Khalil Mack, that solidified their defense. And they have a great defense. But I don't think they're a 12-win team again.
Well, I have to tell you, I think I'm going to be watching him. And, you know, the Packers' first game against the Bears, I think that...
Is that what it is? They lead off with the Bears?
They lead off with the Bears.
Okay. Is that at home or in Chicago?
That's home.
Okay, so it's in Green Bay.
I'm pretty sure.
You're going to have nice weather. You're going to have Khalil Mack and the Bears defense.
Coming after you.
Oh, yeah. And he's a monster. I was amazed the Eagles were able to control him as well as they did.
Well, and last year when they played, even though the Packers eked it out, if you looked at the first half and the second half, you know, new quarterback, as far as the Chicago had a new quarterback, and by the second half it showed. But the first half, and Mack was, you know, now of course the Packers know a little bit more about him, but still, I have to tell you, I was really impressed. I think that I couldn't believe that... Oakland, right? He came from Oakland.
Right,
from
Oakland.
I can't believe that Oakland.
Down. What did the Bears give up? 2 first-round draft picks?
Right. But, you know, he made them relevant right away.
Oh,
correct.
He did.
That was actually a good deal for both sides.
Exactly.
Now, Oakland had a boatload of picks. Of course, their first, what did they have, the third or fourth overall pick, and everybody said they reached with the guy they took. But they did have a lot of high draft picks.
Yeah, and remember, Oakland is stocking up for when they move to Vegas. And so, because they're going to have to be...
Well, they got to be better this year to make that move relevant.
Yeah.
They got to be relevant when they get to Vegas.
Exactly, because remember, they got a lot of seats to fill.
Yeah, what's going to happen, Bill, is that if they are lousy, okay, you're going to have all the people coming into Vegas from out of town going to be rooting for the other team.
Right. Okay. And remember, you know, you want to build a local fan base.
You got to build a fan base there.
You can't depend on the casinos to sell all your tickets.
Oh, yes, you can.
I
think absolutely.
But by the way, there will be a seat available.
No, because look at the draw for everyone from, you know, if
the casual fan to the diehard. Whatever the visiting team is, they will probably pull 20,000 people who will go to Vegas that weekend to see their team play.
If they can get tickets. By the way, the first game, the Packers are playing at Chicago, and then they're playing Minneapolis at home. So I really think after the first, unfortunately, after the first two games.
Oh, I think they have a chance of beating the Vikings in Green Bay.
Well, let's
I think that first game in Chicago is going to be tough.
That's going to be tough. And then they play Denver. And, of course, you know, September 26th.
They're at the Eagles.
You should go out to see the Eagles.
No, they're in Green Bay.
They're in Green Bay.
Okay, the Eagles
and
are in Green
fact,
Bay.
And, in fact, my two grandchildren are trying to get me to take them out. And I've said, hey, look, guys, every time a Cowboy game I take them to, or an Eagle game I take
Packers
them to.
Packers play lousy.
They Packers lose.
So why should you spend money on them just to be disappointed?
I was hoping that they would be playing Philadelphia out here.
I was hoping they would play Philly locally, but it's
well,
not
we
McCart.
Do know they're playing the Giants locally.
But but they're also playing...
What week is that they play the Giants? December 1?
Yeah, unfortunately, December 1st.
Yeah, a little bit
and
cold.
They're also playing Dallas. Yeah. So they're playing Philadelphia, Dallas...
Well, they play the whole NFC East
and
Washington.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You play 6 games against your division, then you play 1 game against another whole division. That's 10 games.
And that's the one they're playing against Denver.
And then you play 4 other games against a division in your own conference, and then the other 2 games vary according to schedule. And that's the NFL formula.
But, you know, it's a winning formula. See, I disagree with you. I think they're going to need 4 or 5 years to build a local fan base in Vegas because
I don't know if they're going to wear off.
Look, the Golden Knights went to Las Vegas with, and they were a brand new team.
Right.
And they sold out immediately.
Exactly. But remember, the Golden Knights got to cherry pick their roster. You could only protect six.
But my point is, yeah, that goes to they played well. But my point is, they sold out. They sold the tickets before anybody knew how good they were going to be. So
But you know what's going to happen? And I was in.
And that's a harder sell than NFL.
But I was in the Dominican.
Hard sell in a new city.
Well, guys, you know the problem? I was in the Dominican Republic with a friend of mine who's an attorney in Las Vegas. It wasn't the cost of the seats. It was the cost of, what's the big cost they have to pay?
The PSL?
Yes.
The
And I'm trying to remember what he told me.
It's about $2,000 or $3,000.
I think it was more.
Wow.
For four seats. And he said,
and you really don't get anything for that.
Right.
Because you still have to buy the seats every year. And if you don't, I don't know what happens. If you, let's say, pay $4,000 for a PSL. So that seat you have a license, a revocable license for. And then you don't buy the tickets the next year. Unless part of that deal is not only the $4,000, but you agree to buy the seats. So if you don't buy them, you're in breach and you lose your PSL
deposit. I think that would be interesting to find out because this guy does very well. In fact, one of the things I said is, hey, look, you know, when the Packers come out or when I want to come out, you know, I want to buy your tickets. And he told me, didn't do it. And he did buy tickets. He's got the season hockey tickets. But I thought that was very interesting. I remember when the box seats, they were adding the new box seats in Green Bay, and there was someone that had seats, and they could have gotten, you know, a box, and they said the same thing. It was just, but I remember that was a ton of money. But I do think, Bill, it'll be harder for them to have their own fan base, but everybody else, they're going to fill those seats. I mean, no question about it, because everybody's going to go out to Vegas.
Well, if they're good.
I don't think it will make any difference if they're good.
It'll make a lot of difference if they're good and they're local, because what's going to happen is this. So if you're a Packer fan, you're going to go out there so that you can watch your team beat up on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Right.
That's fine, but remember something. So you're going to have Denver fans making the trip. You might not have New England fans or Philadelphia fans making that trip.
I disagree because it's going to be, look at all the sports fans who are gamblers. You know, I think they're going to go out because it's Las Vegas. And they'll be able to come back and say, hey, I also went to a football game. So well, I just think that's
exactly right.
And in fact,
when I go to Vegas and I can go to a Golden Knights game, it just adds to your Vegas vacation. You can see a pro sports.
And
no question about it. But I'm saying they still have to build a local fan base because who's going to buy all the trinkets and T-shirts and
I think the people who go out will bring them back.
Oh, Vegas?
Their kids.
Are you kidding me? I was just there in March, and by the way, Bill, we've already booked next March. You got to go this year, and we will get a Golden Knights game in. But from the moment the Knights were created, everybody's walking around, and now you've got black and silver. The Raiders stuff is all over the place.
Really?
All over Vegas. Absolutely.
Well, I'm not
surprised. No, in fact, if I could have bought 4 tickets without paying.
And by the way, one last thing, think about it. Whenever somebody builds a new stadium, what do they get 2 or 3 years down the road? So you were going to have a Super Bowl in Las Vegas.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? You nothing would top that. No.
You're right.
You'll have the NFL experience,
well,
Super Bowl week in Vegas.
Well, the one that is, I think it's
mind-boggling to think
of. New Orleans. I have to tell you, the Super Bowl in New Orleans was unbelievable.
Well, my buddy Rick has been to, I think, 4 of them there, and he hated going there because he feared for his wife. But
really?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't think you can even begin to compare New Orleans with Vegas. A Super Bowl
can.
In Vegas... you can't even compare.
Well,
but remember, Vegas
I have
is
to
just
tell
for people to party.
Well, yeah. But so does New Orleans.
Well,
and you
yeah.
literally walk
but people
from
really
the
live
stadium.
In New Orleans.
Yeah, but you walk from, you wouldn't know it when you're down there, but you walk from the stadium. The interesting thing is I've been there for Mardi Gras and I've been there for football games. It's a different set of people.
Well, sure, there half the city is visitors.
No question.
But the idea, because I've been to a Super Bowl in San Diego and you know, it wasn't right down. I mean, to walk to the stadium and then back, I mean, where else can you do that?
That's right.
Really?
Yeah.
Think
Vegas,
about it.
The stadium is going to be about 2 miles down the road, whereas the arena where the Golden Knights play is walking distance from the Strip. It's right behind New York, New York.
And, of course, you know, when in San Francisco, the old stadium, you were walking through some pretty tough neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because we did it. And that was not exactly... you know, great area. And, of course, New Orleans, everybody knows you have to be very careful.
Right.
But it's just a couple blocks down to the, you know, Bourbon Street. So, anyway, but I'm sure you're right. And I would have, if I didn't have to pay for that, whatever that license is, if I could have gotten four tickets. I would have gotten four tickets.
Yeah, we would have made a ton of money putting it in a Las Vegas LLC.
That's right. But because of, as I said, I wasn't thinking, well, what did the Yankees, what did they charge for their...
The Yankees don't have seat
no,
licenses except in the lower level, maybe the first 10 rows.
They did have a license,
they? Tried
they?
To do that with
I
the stadium.
I think they tried, but the public...
Didn't work.
Really?
It didn't work very well, and the city was not happy about that. So what happened with the Yankees was this. If you want a seat license... they'll sell you one, but I think it's the first 10 rows off the field. But those are pricey seats. Those are $500
right.
seats.
Right, which is
and if you
absurd.
Look, if you watch a Yankees-White Sox game on a Tuesday night in Yankee Stadium, the place looks like it's empty.
I realize that. A lot of
having an attendance problem, you know, because they're always advertising tickets.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of surprising. But it actually goes to somebody's point before, I think your point, Pat. The season's just too long. There's just too many games.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they have trouble putting fannies in the seats in September and October.
Well, that's always a problem, too. And remember, once the team is eliminated, it's like a ghost town.
Yeah, but you see, that was never the case.
Right.
In Green
Even
Bay,
if the team was out of it.
There's only one time, and I'm trying to remember what tickets that you could really get tickets, because we had tickets, and we decided not to go to the game, and we couldn't sell them. Now, preseason, there's only one. And what was it? It was 2 years ago, because we had tickets
for
two games.
Oh, I do remember that, Pat.
And so we gave them to the boys' club.
Yeah.
But the point is, it was hard if we got tickets for preseason. We always would give those to the boys' club. But that was the first time that I can ever remember not having, you know, sellout at Green Bay. And at the end, they did have, you know, 78,000 or whatever. So they had what they considered a sellout.
It's a very interesting problem because if you go to Yankee Stadium, you can get. They rarely sell out. Excuse me. And what we're finding is that if you go on StubHub or you go right to the Yankees, you're going to be able to get an upper level seat within the foul lines at a more reasonable price, $60-$70.
Yeah, but think of it. If you've got three kids and you're taking. You know, if you've got three or four kids, I noticed even when we went to the Devils game, I was surprised at how empty the place
exactly.
was.
Exactly.
But then you saw somebody with three or four kids, and you're thinking, along with the seats.
It becomes a $500 night.
Right.
Well, the seats, and then if you try to buy anything to eat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, you know, but what's really interesting is this. You're even seeing mediocre teams suddenly raising prices. The Flyers, who did not have a good season, increased their ticket prices by about 8%. No matter where you sit, they jack them up 8%. Now, I just hope Carter Hart stops an awful lot of pucks, because there are a lot of people very annoyed with a mediocre season where they didn't make the playoffs. There's a lot of grumbling about that among season ticket holders.
Well, you know, I thought it was as much fun for me. Now, you know, I'm not diehard hockey, but we went to Allentown to that game.
Right.
I thought that was, it was really fun, and it especially is. For somebody who, you know, doesn't know hockey that well. And the other thing is, I'm wondering, unless the kids are playing hockey, are they learning hockey now? Are they learning the intricacies of baseball?
I think the hockey programs are alive and well. It's just that there's fewer of them.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, at the, in the private, mostly Catholic schools, they always have great hockey teams. Del Barton, mm-hmm. here in New Jersey, you've got... You know, mostly those teams. Some of the bigger high schools, and even Hunter Central here, has fielded a reasonably good hockey team going to the state tournament and so forth. Now, hockey is doing okay.
But are they going to have the same problem as football because of the concussions?
I think it's less in hockey because on football, you basically get hit on every play. Hockey, there's some contact. But you know, you got a helmet. You got to be careful. I think there's a lot more concussions in football than in hockey.
I agree.
Well, I wonder if they cover them more. Now, I have to tell you, my grandson played, and he would have gone into college playing this year. He got such a severe concussion, he can't play.
Yeah. Your grandson's playing football.
No, he was playing hockey.
Hockey. Okay.
He was in that junior, when you get out of high school, they recruit you.
Oh, okay, right.
And you get to play until you're 21. And then the idea is any of these kids who have decent grades and play hockey well, they'll get recruited from a school. And I was hoping he was coming to Princeton, but he had to stop playing before the end of his season, and he's not going to play. I mean, he said he may in the future play some recreational hockey, but he's been told now not to play.
And they hit very hard in the, because remember, all of these kids are trying to make a mark for themselves,
right.
So they're headhunting out there.
Yeah, they're like the old Blackhawks. Oh, I mean, in the day, I had this little black and white television, and I had the two little girls, and boy, they would love hockey, but I had to stop watching it because it was so. I mean, it was like boxing. You might as well have been watching.
That was the joke that I went to a boxing match last night, and a hockey game broke out.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That joke's been around forever.
Well, guys, it's about time to say
it just about is.
So let's play one last spot, and then they're going to cut us off anyway. So
okay, well, we dare them to cut us off. Go ahead, Pat. Hit that money button over there.
No, it's only, I think this is something for the...
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
A system based on skills and employment opportunities. That plan expected to include also a continued call for construction of a massive border wall. Former President Jimmy Carter is out of a hospital after he broke a hip the other day. The former president's 94. Hoping to be president, another Democrat enters the field. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio.
Donald Trump must be stopped. I've beaten him before, and I will do it again.
The Labor Department says